It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're continuing the study in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. We're just going to read two verses today, verses 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Again, I'd like to welcome you in the study today. I hope that you enjoy it. It's a sweet time as we open the Word of God and enjoy the precious Word. Now, if you would please follow along as I read Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Sweet verses of Scripture. Let's begin with prayer now before we start. Father, I thank you today that we can come and read these verses of Scripture. Help us to understand and apply them to our lives. I ask, Father, that you will bring the lost to you. I ask, Father, that you will take this program and that you'll allow it to penetrate the heart by the means of the Holy Spirit as we proclaim your word, that the hearts will be convicted and they'll come to know you as their Savior today. They'll realize that they have sin and that sin needs to be paid for, and the only way it can be paid for is through and by you, Lord Jesus. Now please make that so clear today. Make it so clear. Now help us to not only come to know you as our Savior, but then begin our sweet walk with you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time we were together, we looked at these verses of Scripture, and we had a sweet time as we looked up many different areas of the Scripture for the word true, as we studied that. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report. And we looked up several verses of Scripture, and the first in true was Ephesians 4:25, and then for honest we looked up 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21, and then looked up a verse of Scripture in Romans 12:17, and also in 1 Peter 2:12. For just, we looked up Deuteronomy 16:20. For pure, we looked up James 3:17. For lovely, we looked up 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. And we had a sweet time last time as we looked those references up concerning those words. We closed last time with talking about that not only this should be a goal of our life, a joy to come into our life, to have these qualities through and by the Lord Jesus, but also that it is a perfect and beautiful example of the Lord Jesus himself. The Lord Jesus in his walk, as he walked here upon this earth for 33 years, and particularly the last 3 years that people are the most, we have the most information about in the Word of God. And we learn of Christ. We find that he is truth, he is honest, he is just, he is pure, he is lovely. It's great to serve a God that is perfect. And I serve such a God. And out of all the gods that have been created through this world, and in this world by man through the years and generations, there is only one true God, only one that is real, that is right, that is God, that deserves to be called God, deserves to be worshipped. There is only one. And that's the God I serve. Now I hope that you follow after the Lord Jesus and search his way and will, because I want you to have a peace in your heart and a peace in your life. And you will have that if you'll follow after the Lord Jesus. Now we're going to begin once again here. And I love the Old Testament. There's so many references and verses of Scripture in the Old Testament for us to learn from. And we're going to go to Isaiah today, Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Now, again, you can hear the pages. I want you to follow along with me if you would, please. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. Listen to this as we have read through these verses of Scripture concerning what we're to do and what we're to be. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. And I guess I need to read the seventh verse first. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, finally, brethren, then it begins to go through the truth and the honesty and the justness and the purity and the lovely, all those qualities. It continues to go down through those verses of Scripture. Now, let's look at, again, Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now I want to read that one more time before we go any further today, because I want you to hear those words. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. We're to set our heart and our mind upon Jesus, upon serving him and walking after him. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. In the third verse of Isaiah 26, it speaks of a perfect peace for those that keep their mind upon the Lord Jesus. We have in verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. We have peace and strength if we'll just but set our heart and our mind upon the Lord Jesus. Would you please do that today? Set your heart and your mind upon the Lord Jesus. Well, before you can do that, you must come by faith to Jesus. You must be saved. You must come to Jesus today. I don't know how old you are. I don't know how young you are. I don't know what kind of a lifestyle that you have. But I do know that there's a need there, and that need can be filled and completed by Jesus. But you must come today by faith to him. You must trust in him and understand that he is your Savior, and he is the only God. The only God. You know, through the time, so many folks bow down and worship other gods. And through a study of Isaiah that we've been having on Sunday evening, we find that as the king of Assyria came down upon Jerusalem and come to talk to the king of Judah, and upon that conversation, and as each sent their own people to talk and to visit, the king of Assyria was very proud of the fact that there was never been a god that had stopped him. And he named the gods of several different countries and communities as they would come with their army, as the Assyrians would come and destroy, and they would tear down those folks as god. And they were so bold in what they would say because they said, "We will do the same to your god." Well, I hope you understand that I'm talking about not a god made out of stone or a god made out of wood or a god that has been dreamed up by somebody. I'm talking about the true God, the only God, the God that again, I worship, but not because I worship him does it make him the true God. He is the true God. He is the only God. The only God that deserves anyone to fall down before him and worship him. No other gods should have that honor and that showing and that desire of people to do. But folks worship so many gods. We have the God the only God that has these qualities. Complete, perfect, true, honest, just, pure, lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report, Jesus was perfect. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. To look at those sweet verses of Scripture. Jesus is true. He's the only true one. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only honest one, completely and totally. Jesus is just, perfect, pure, completely. Lovely is not only beautiful, but also gracious, sweet. And the Scripture closes there, kind of comes to an end. If there be any virtue, if there be any strength, any courage, any praise, if there be any, and it closes in with, if there be any strength, any courage, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on the qualities of Jesus. And He just doesn't have those qualities, but He hands those qualities down to us as well. That if we set our eyes and our heart, our mind upon Him. You want me to read Isaiah one more time for you? Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusts in Thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Such sweet verses of Scripture. Sweet, sweet verses. Think on these things. That's a sadness today because we're so busy and so preoccupied with the things of the world, whatever it might be, that we don't think on the things of God. We don't dwell upon the things of God. We do not meditate upon the things of God. We just kind of keep on and keeping on. We do just enough to make us act like maybe we should as a Christian. Or maybe we just act right as far as being a moral person. But we need to act as God wants us to act. We need to be as God wants us to be. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, verse 9 tells us. Now, today, our lives are built up with worry. We worry every day. And a few weeks ago, we looked at a verse of Scripture. A few times ago that we were together, be careful for nothing up in the sixth verse. It depends on where your mind, what's your mind on? Is your mind on the things of this world? On earthly things, on natural things? Or is your mind set upon the service of God, desiring to please God? Where's your mind? Where is your mind? In studying for this time that we spend together, ran into a statement. The statement said that 8% of the things that we worry about are legitimate. Just 8% of the things we worry about come to pass and we could do something about it. 8%. 92% either never happened or it was circumstances that we had no control of. 92%. We worry. We always worry. Now it tells us not only in verse 8 but in verse 9. It says in verse 9, now those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And how long have we talked about these sweet verses of Scripture as he writes this letter back to the church of Philippi, as he not only tells them the way and the direction of the truth, but also he gives them such instruction. He tells them in verse 4 above us here to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It tells them, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Do you hear the words of God? Are you listening to the truth of God? Or are you continuing to be directed and swayed to the right and to the left as this old world has a hold of you? Are you worrying and do you fret about everything? You sit there and do you wring your hands because you're just so worried? How's this going to turn out? How's that going to turn out? You know, we worry about so many things. And again, this little study said that only 8% is worthy of worry. God tells us not to worry at all. He calls worry sin. And yet we worry all the time. I understand if you're not saved today and you've been watching folks through your life go to church, confess to be saved, but they continue to act the same way that they always did. They talk the same way. Their language is the same way. The things that they do, the places they go, everything seems to be the same. But yet they say, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I am born again. I have come to Jesus by faith. And yet their life hasn't changed. That's very sad. Because a Christian's life should change. Should change drastically and dramatically. We should see such a change in a believer's life as they come to the Lord Jesus that it's noticed to not only the people within the church that they can joyfully pray for that individual, whether it be young or old, man or woman, doesn't matter. Just pray for them. Lift them up that God will show them the way. Instead of that, they continue to hang on to so many things of the world. And many folks say they were never saved. I can't say that because only God knows whether they're saved or not. But I do know that there's many folks that hang on to way too much of the world, that they don't separate themselves and their lives. They don't confess Jesus. They are hidden Christians. They're quiet. They don't tell other people. Many times they don't even confess it in church, that I'm a believer in Jesus. I've been saved, and I want folks to know that I've been saved. If you're one of those that are hidden, I ask that you come out today, and you proclaim today that I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and I need your prayer and I need your help to grow, that I may make a difference in this lost and dying and condemned hell-bound world, that I can tell people about Jesus, and my life will reflect it, that people will come and be saved. Please that take place. Paul tells these folks, the things that you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. You know, a lot of people have trouble with that because they said they're saying to follow Paul. Paul's just a man. Paul's not perfect. He's giving them great instruction there. The things that you've learned, he taught them the Word of God. The things that you have received. There's a couple different stages there, a couple different steps there. Because you to learn something. You know, how many times do you, you know, I divide the two words knowledge and wisdom many times. Because for you to know something, but then to take it and use it is another thing, is another step. And I want you to do that today. I want you to show folks around you that you know Jesus. Don't be that worrywart just like you've always been, sitting there fretting about this and worrying about that. Again, no wonder people around you aren't saved. And maybe as you're listening today, you've witnessed so many folks and you say there's nothing to it. Oh, please. God, forgive those folks that have no testimony. Forgive those folks that do not show Jesus in their life, that the lost and dying world would make such a statement that I see no difference. Father, help us all. Please help us all to live a life becoming to You, pleasing to You. Oh, that that be the prayer of each one of our hearts, that we set our hearts in our life. Let's look back up here just a second. We have so many things that we are taught by the Word of God. But every time that we come to church, and every time Paul here would proclaim something to either the church of Philippi or to anyone else, Satan is always there trying to deceive the listener. Paul is giving the truth. And our first word up here was true. Whatsoever things are true. Paul is giving out the truth. We see, we have an enemy that desires that we do not listen to the truth, but we accept a lie. Churches today are full of people that have received lies. Churches today are full of preachers that have given out lies. They've stopped preaching the gospel. They've stopped saying that it's important that you come by faith to Jesus Christ. They've stopped preaching that you must walk a holy, separated life. They've stopped preaching that. They've started preaching togetherness and unity at any cost. No, my friend, not the cost of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not the cost of a salvation of a soul will I ever stand with one that does not believe the Word of God. We stand and we listen to the gospel preached. We listen to the gospel taught. We listen to the Word of God as it day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, as we proclaim the Word of God. We listen and the truth is proclaimed. And we're very careful to stand upon the Word of God and its truths. And we don't leave it. If we're standing alone or if we're standing with a multitude, we don't leave it. We stand upon the truth. But in this church, the church that I pastor, as well as every other gospel-preaching, soul-winning church that stands upon the Word of God, Satan is right there trying to convince them to accept a lie. We know, according to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, when he come to Eve and he questioned what God said. Well, I believe that Adam told Eve. I don't know, and the word isn't clear in that area, to whether God told Eve. We know that God told Adam not to have of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He said no. Now, what happened to whether Adam told Eve, and we know that he did instruct her, but we're not sure whether she heard the voice of God and learned it as well, or whether Adam told her. I believe that Adam is the one that has instructed Eve. And here comes the devil. Here comes old Satan. And he said, "Hath God said?" Just placing a little question, a little doubt. And you know, today, in our churches today, instead of you coming and receiving the truth, that old devil sitting there, he can't say that about you, or he can't preach that way. That's contrary to what everybody else preaches today. Well, it doesn't matter if it's contrary to anything other than it must never be contrary to the Word of God. Now, I'm asking you to take your eyes, your mind, your heart, study that Word of God. Study the precious Word, the Word of God, that you may know it. Know it to be true. And then know whether I'm preaching it or somebody else is preaching it. Know that it is the truth, the Word of God. God's Word. Whether whoever's preaching it, that you can confirm that. Or know it instantly to be wrong. That he is preaching the lie. She is teaching, whether it be a Sunday school class. Whoever it is that you're listening to. You know, there's so many things today that we need to study and search the Word of God that we may know the truth. To know the truth. But the old devil says, yea, hath God said. And that old devil is doing the same thing today. He's poking that old lie right in our face every day. And every time the truth is brought forward, he's there to try to convince you that it's a lie. And he's the best of liars. Let's go to John chapter 8, the truth. John chapter 8. We have verse 43 through verse 45. John chapter 8, beginning with verse 43. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Now, isn't it so sad today that people don't accept the truth, but they accept a lie? They've been deceived, so deceived by the devil. The Holy Spirit controls. The Holy Spirit gives direction. The Holy Spirit gives guidance. By and through the truth for every believer's life. The devil gives direction for your life as well, but he does it through the means of a lie. God does it through the means of truth. Now, which would you rather follow and which would you rather have? The lie or truth. And that happens to be the first word. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. We must stand and stay upon the Word of God. We cannot leave the Word of God, the truth. And so many, I've got so many folks that I've known for so many years that have left the truth. They have compromised the Word of God. And I ask you, please don't do that. Because I want you to have, as we read back in Isaiah chapter 26, that peace. And that peace will come as you set your eyes and your heart upon God, upon His Word, upon the truth. We need then to take upon setting our heart upon the truth, we need to be honest and be just. And set our heart and mind on the things that are good. We need to take our life, as the next is pure, lovely, and good report. We need to set our walk and make it a sweet, beautiful walk. A sweet, beautiful walk that attracts people, that people look at that and they realize that they need a Savior. And they need the Savior we have, Jesus. And they can see it through by the truth. By the things that we do. By the walk. Let it be of the sweet walk of Jesus. Psalms 119, 165. Great peace have they which love the law. I want you to walk in Jesus today. I want you to come to Jesus today. My friend, what are you going to do? about Jesus.